Welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. And we got some stuff to
discuss tonight, Rick.
Oh, yeah. You want to kick it off with your Knicks, or should we start with the good news.
Good news. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk with the Knicks a little bit. Start with that. Game two last night at the Garden. Trae Young, public enemy number one in New York. You got de Blasio calling him out for fouls. And what do the Knicks do? Julius Randle comes out and, again, played scared and played shook and just looked like he wanted no part of that game, at least in the first half. I mean, he was just awful.
Yeah. And he did something a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, and the Knicks go down 13. And then the second half, Tibbs is like, all right, Peyton, you're sitting down. I'm going with Burks. I'm going with Toppin, who had a great game, hit a couple free throws, a big dunk to start extending that lead. And Tibbs has to play him more. Get him in the post. Get him in some pick and rolls. Get him to create some plays for him and let him run. Put him out there with Rose and let him run. But, you know, they switched up the lineup. And Madison Square Garden last night was raucous. I mean, I went to the Garden about 5 o'clock just to kind of get the vibe. And it was just chaos before the game. And then after the game, you saw the film of they shut down 7th Avenue. I mean, to shut down 7th Avenue in Midtown Manhattan, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's just – that does not happen. And Knicks fans did that. And then, obviously, you had the incident with the guy who spit on Trae Young, who should be banned for life.
He's banned indefinitely right now.
Yeah. And you know what they should do? They should start publicly shaming these people. Like, if you spit on somebody, you do something like that, or like what happened with Westbrook out in Philadelphia, like, you should be publicly shamed. Your name and your face should be put out there in the public for people to see, so you can be publicly shamed, because that's the only way you're going to stop this kind of behavior. But we'll get to that a little later. But
I love how you got 50 Cent sitting right there.
Yeah, with his girl. I mean, just crazy. But, you know, a tremendous performance by the Knicks, and now they go down to Atlanta for games 3 and 4. And look, it's a back-and-forth series. I mean, Atlanta has the better talent. I mean, they got shooters.
Well, Trae Young is clutch. I mean, I don't like the guy, but he's clutch.
Yeah, he's just an incredible talent. And then just the question is, now that the Knicks are going to go with Rose, they're going to go with Burks, they're going to go with Toppin now, they're going to play Randle with that second unit, will they be able to get a win out there, which I think they will. I think the series comes back 2-2 and then try to win it in 6 or 7. But it's just been fun and exciting to watch. I can't wait till tomorrow night for game 3. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little run for our blue and orange New York-based teams.
Yeah, speaking of runs.
You got the Mets 1-2 in a doubleheader today after a postponement yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they're on 3 straight, still holding on to that first place spot. A little bit of bad news with Noah Syndergaard going down for at least another 6 weeks. We will see what happens with the almighty Thor, but I don't know if he can get that Thor moniker anymore. I don't think he's worthy of it. He's
Stop not worthy of
how do you pronounce it? I don't know.
I don't know. The hammer.
The Thor's hammer.
Yeah, Thor's hammer. The Majorn. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was that?
He's not he's not worthy of it right now.
All right, fine.
But the other blue and orange team out there, the New York Islanders, came back down 2-1, won 3 straight, clinched it in Nassau Coliseum for the first time since 1993, clinched a playoff series in game 6 last night with a 5-3 victory all over the Penguins. So congratulations to the Islanders. And do we know who they're playing yet? Probably not, right?
Not yet. It doesn't say yet. I was looking at ESPN today. It did not say who they were going to play, so...
Yeah, and obviously the Nets are riding high as well in the NBA playoffs. They're up 2-0.
Yeah.
So, you know, New York team's looking pretty good in the playoffs right now.
Absolutely.
And hope that can continue.
Yeah.
But there is one team that does not look very good. This is not basketball. This is not hockey. But there was something transpired yesterday at the Pittsburgh Pirate Pirates and Cubs game. Javi Baez, who's nicknamed the Magician, I didn't know this until
I watched it. I saw it yesterday.
But he, with 2 outs and a man on second, grounds the ball to third base. The third baseman throws it to first for the force out, but the throw goes a little wide, pulls the first baseman off the bag towards the catcher.
And then chaos begins.
So Javi Baez just stops on a dime down the first base line. Okay, I mean, you got it. That's how you play it as the base runner. And then Javier Baez starts taking him on a stroll down the first baseline towards the catcher. The first baseman is two steps away from first base. He could just backpedal, touch the base, inning over, three outs, done deal. But no, he's going to chase him down the first baseline to the catcher very nonchalantly. And then all of a sudden, the guy that was on second rounds third, goes home, sliding in. The first baseman throws it to the catcher. Catcher tries to place the tag with on the sliding runner down at first, but Javi Baez is standing right next to him as well. He could have went for them. And then Javi Baez bolts, so that there's a run scored, but it doesn't count until Javi Baez can get to first base because it's still not a force out. It's still a force out. And the second baseman comes barreling over from way across field to try to get to first base. I don't know why he wasn't there after the 35 seconds have already passed.
Yeah.
And then the throw goes into the outfield. And then he ends up getting second base after everything was all said and done. Run scores. That it was the most boneheaded play that I've ever seen. And I mean, this is episode 86. And in 86, a pretty iconic play happened at first base. Bill Buckner is way off the hook after seeing this. That's it. Like,
I mean,
I know that was at a World Series, but this is just like unbelievable.
You literally can't make up what happened. Like, that happened yesterday. Like,
that happened.
He fielded a ground ball two steps from the bag, and all of a sudden he just literally had a brain freeze. And he lost complete knowledge of the situation. He saw, and he's running down first base. Where's he going to go? Like,
I still cannot like process.
Yeah.
What was going through his head? Never seen a play like that.
Yeah, no.
We never thought we would see a play like that.
I mean,
thanks for tuning in, Sean.
I mean, you can't make that up. I mean, what? I think at that point, sort of like the brain froze, and they're like, "Wait a minute, like something's not right here." And you, as a fan, you're watching him run back to the base, and you're saying to yourself, "What the hell's he doing?
Did you listen to any post game conferences? Because I want to hear like
no, I didn't. I have not.
I didn't either. But I want to try and get into his mind. It might mess up my mind.
All time.
No, I mean it's a brain fart.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And I get it. In the heat of the moment, it's hard. But those are things that you practice. How many times? I mean, you can't.
But I don't think you ever. You can imagine a guy running down the wall.
You can't.
Wrong way at on a game, but
and you know what? I mean, if he's called the magician as a master of illusion, and he apparently gave him the illusion that he can't get out if he touched first base, because all the rules and logic of baseball just went out the window.
Yeah,
for a minute, and we're talking about all the time how the baseball rules need to change. Well, guess what? Yeah. That rule did not change at all. And there's really no excuse. It's just, it's a mental error. And from a couple of people too. I mean, it's not just the first baseman. Like, you got to have the catcher saying, just fucking run back.
Yeah. Or somebody in the dugout scream, what are you doing? Just tag the bag. But it was one of the craziest plays in Major League Baseball you'll ever see. And Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. Like, but that happened. Just folks. I mean, that happened. Like that.
It happened. And if you have not seen the play,
go to Instagram, whatever. It's just some of the craziest things.
But for right now, we'll table it because now we are welcoming in our next guest. He is the president over at JP Capital Solutions. Please help us welcome Jason Pastille to the show.
Hey, guys.
Jason.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
How are we doing? Did you see that play?
Oh, my goodness. I've literally never seen anything like that either. Sometimes you'll see some guys freeze and they joke around and backpedal a couple steps, but I've never seen it play out like that. It was
a ridiculous series of events. It wasn't like just one thing, two. It was just everything could have possibly gone wrong on that play.
And you're right. The game's fast, just to freeze. But yeah, that's just a routine that it's just. So calm, but yeah, the game moves so fast that you freeze. And I mean, I've never seen that, so that was
yeah,
pretty funny to watch.
Hey, what MLB MLB's being a little bit of a dying breed lately, and they're not around they're not going viral and like NFL or NBA does, but this is something that at least gets people talking for a little bit. So it's good to see those things sometimes, even if it isn't for a negative light. But yeah, so Jason, thank you very much for joining us on the show. So we really started off the same way every conversation. What got you hooked into sports? And obviously, I know you played baseball, but you know, walk us through like what really got you involved in the game.
Sure, guys.
No worries.
I always move it. You'll see, I'm just energy. A little tired this evening. I had a long day here, but just growing up, just was always getting into different things. I played like most kids do: soccer, basketball. Dad threw me in a lot of different things, but just watching it on TV, my age, I was watching Ken Griffey Jr. hitting bomb. So Mark McGuire day, you know, I don't want to say, it was a little more exciting, but it was a little bit different to watch some of those guys that I grew up. So just kind of watching that, it just led me into the game and had a little bit of God-given talent, I guess you could say. And that always helps when you're good at something. I was never the biggest guy. I was pretty small on the field, but just trying different things. And then again, just watching, seeing those guys like Jeter do crazy, just having your little role model superhero guy. And then just also, like I said, having a little bit of success in it personally and just staying with it more importantly. So that was really it. Just kind of seeing, getting inspired and trying out new things and sticking with it really. So that's what.
Yeah. You also wrote, you also said that when you were younger, your dad pretty much became a student of the game and learned how to coach to teach you how to play. Talk to us a little bit about that, and kudos to your dad on that, because that's great.
And thank God he's still, alive here. I'd probably be, tearing up a little bit, but no, never met my grandfather. So I think a lot of it was his dad. He loved baseball. He didn't have someone to really come home and play catch with. I think his dad, he said, threw him a book and said to read, like to learn. And it was like, he might've tossed with him. So again, I didn't know the whole story, but I just knew he played high school and he played up to a certain level, but he never, I don't think, got the chance to play the game like he really wanted. So whether it was kind of living vicariously through me, I don't know. I appreciate it now looking back, because even when I was small, I didn't see it then, but I said, he actually took, there used to be a camp, and I don't know if they have like Doyle camps, or there was like coaching clinics, and they still have, I'm sure, that type of stuff. But like, he really learned to try to be the best coach and then make sure he was teaching me the right things. And yeah, I credit that really, my success and just staying with it. I mean, he was tough on me. I actually broke my elbow in Little League, like literally it shattered on the mound, and he didn't even think. He's like, go to second base. Like, it was broke. I was in a cast for 6 months, but no, he was awesome. I mean, he never played like college professional, but he was just, loved the game, and it really showed with him educating himself and seeking the information that he lacked or didn't come up. So it was a credit to him, all of it. Like I said, I had a little God gift, but it was pretty cool to have that.
He just amplified the natural talent and put you on the right path. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have the talent, but they don't harness it to the right level, and you never really notice it.
Right. No, 100%. That's exactly it. See a lot of guys kind of fizzle out, maybe that motivation or not. I mean, that's really it. Just again, sticking with anything long enough, you'll get good enough, and once you get good enough, hang in there, and it's good things will happen. So
thanks for coming on, Jason. I read that at 8 years old is when you felt your love for the Yankees. What was the game, what was the moment that you were watching? You said, I'm a Yankee fan.
Oh man, you guys, everybody's like bandwagon, because because this is almost embarrassing to say this, but like, I've been to New York. I played in New York like one time, right? So I'm a Yankee fan still, even now. And I don't kick me off the show. I'm not a great
No, I'm a Yankee fan. Don't worry about it.
Studying it. But yeah, my dad went to It was 96. It was Braves.
Yep. And Yankees. Braves and Yanks, 96 World Series.
So yeah, I was like 7, 8 years old, and those were the Paul O'Neill or Tino Martinez or
Paul O'Neill, Jeter, Rivera, Posada. Yep.
Yeah, and just crazy group, and just watching it, and then him going there, bring me a little poster, stuff to put on. So that was just really it, and then I don't even know why or how he was a fan of the Yankees growing up, because I was born and raised in Florida and still live here. I hopped around to play for a while, obviously, but Tampa, I went to a few Rays games, but it's like, I don't know, just always was a Yankee fan. Everybody's like, oh, you're just a fan. Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
Jason, I was young, there's nothing wrong with that.
Rode the way, yeah. But that was really it. I think it was that, 96 World Series. I was 8, and that's when I started playing T-ball, maybe. Or no, I didn't play. I actually didn't even play till I was 8, but I think it was like machine pitch at that age or something. They didn't have T-ball, or I didn't, so.
Oh, they have machine pitch down there in Florida? I mean, we had coach pitch.
They had that machine pitch and just put it in, boom. And that was, they had, I don't know.
For like an organized game type of deal or just for batting practice?
No, like they would put that roller thing out there and just.
Flip.
Yeah. Like you see. Wow. That was what it was. Machine pitch. Yeah. Maybe that was just because none of the coaches could throw strikes. I have no idea.
I guess if they can't throw strikes, I guess the machine definitely works out well.
That was my start. Yep. That was it.
They needed a machine at first base in the Pirates game yesterday.
Yeah. Jeez. And you mentioned, obviously, you're a Yankee fan, but you're also a fan of players. So tell us some of the players that you're a fan of that you really just like catch your eye when you watch the team.
I like guys that are – that's a good question because there's guys that they're – like Greinke for some reason. And he went to, and I don't know him. I'm not trying to name him at all, but in Orlando, I think it was Edgewater or something. I had a pitching coach, and there was like I had watched him from earlier on, and he's, I don't want to call him weird, but like there's just guys that have a different presence. I mean, Bauer's kind of funny to watch here. I don't know. He gets some different, but pitchers, because I was a pitcher, so it's just going different guys. Obviously DeGrom, but I mean, guys that just play. I mean, I don't like the controversial player, but some of those guys that just play with so much passion, they get that. Harper, you got those guys that just have so much passion that. So I like watching some of those guys.
Back in the days, like when you're following the Yankees, like back in those times in the late 90s and early 2000s. I mean, were you obviously Jeter, but like maybe Manny Ramirez or players like that?
I mean, obviously Jeter, he'd be just making insane plays. And then, I could bring up Ken Griffey. Everybody like watching Ken Griffey hit bombs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, players. And again, pitchers, I just like watching, Roger Clemens. I know he gets a little bit of love and hate.
Well, before it all, he was great.
Before this, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, before. But, I mean, guys like that, just because they were so dominant, just you could just tell they had this, like, I'm going to mess you up. That's what I liked watching. It was just, I don't know. It was just a different, harder kind of nose player.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I mean, people like Ken Griffey, like, what are the chances that Rick's wearing his hat backwards today?
No.
Ken Griffey never existed.
Exactly.
Right?
You're dead on. I think everybody wears their hats backwards till this day because of Ken Griffey Jr.
And that nice little swagger at the plate when you're batting.
Yeah.
You always want to try to, be Griffey or Jeter back in the day, actually mine was a weird one. I like Todd Zeals, the bat on his shoulder.
Okay.
But you mentioned that you were a pitcher. Well, we know you were a pitcher, but when you were playing in like high school, college, were you always a pitcher? Because I know you said you look up to DeGrom, and DeGrom was a shortstop, and now obviously he's quite a good pitcher.
Just a tad.
Yeah,
but obviously, sometimes these pitchers find their purpose later on as moving on in the game. Did you always start off as a pitcher, or was there something that you just transitioned towards it?
No, I actually was. I played. Early on, second base, shortstop. That's what everybody thought in my size. I'm not a 6'6" pitcher, so I was like, "Oh, you must play second or out." I'm like, "Closer, I don't know." Start, but I played. And actually, it was a little – I was a little kind of offended. My college, I was fast. I ran up like 6'5". Well, I don't know what, that's probably not even fast anymore. I don't know what these guys are running, but, you know, pretty quick. So one of the first, I want to say the first scout, because college, after high school, I didn't get drafted out of high school, and I went to a junior college and as a pitcher. But then some of the scouts that had seen me through high school, they like, we want to see possible run. And I'm like, I want to pitch. I don't want to run to just go play. But I didn't care. I was getting an opportunity to get seen. So yeah. I wasn't pitching too much. But yeah, I played outfield. And then once you get to college, it unless you're just a dominant guy, I mean, there's exceptions. But, you know, pitchers, I don't know. Maybe they just treat them like a little, their arm might, you know, right, just baby them. I don't know what it is, but it's like, why? I want to play both. So, but yeah, I played a couple different spots. And yeah, DeGrom, yeah, he right here in Deland, Stetson, he was about 20 minutes from where I'm at here.
Oh, nice.
He went to college there, and yeah, he's an athlete.
Oh, yeah, no, he's, yeah, he can play. He could definitely play. And you ended up going to college at University of West Florida, correct? And you guys ended up winning a College World Series. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was interesting because I thought maybe there was a shot after high school to get drafted, maybe junior college. Like, so instead of going to a 4-year, or have to stay for 3 years before you sign, if you go to junior college, you can get signed after your freshman or sophomore year for baseball. I don't know what that's like, that with every sport or not, but so I ended up going to a junior college and ended up going to a different one. And then I still never got drafted, and I had good years. I was still, but then I wanted to go, LSU was one of my kind of schools. I wanted to go to either Florida State or LSU for like a Division One. I don't want to start pouring out excuses here why I didn't go, but my grades, I was never the best in the academics. Yeah, I hate to say that. You know, I got a little girl. She's going to make sure she's a good student athlete, right? It's a student athlete, I learned. Athlete. So the credits, and they can, I mean, it's hard for athletics not to be able to figure something out for you to get in, right? So I was not in the best shape academically, but I had a lot of Division II, Division III, and so I knew that was it. I was like, I didn't get drafted, so there was maybe a couple other D1s. I was like, West Florida, there was a coach I knew that was a pitching coach. I had a couple of guys, never heard of them ever. I was like, I don't even know. And I knew some of the junior college players that were coming in a similar situation. Like, let's go here. And it was in Pensacola, Florida. And fortunately, it was a bunch of junior college guys that just, we came in and just ended up crushing everybody and won in the World Series for the first time ever that school history. And it was good. It was great. And then finally had my chance. I signed, ended up as a free agent with the Diamondbacks out of there. And so I had my shot from there. So it was West Florida. Yeah.
Awesome. An Argonaut. No, congratulations.
I didn't know what that was, by the way.
Were you starting pitcher, relief pitcher? Did you pitch in the series?
I was, yeah. Yeah, I was a starter through college because I didn't get into the reliever role till professional. I was a mid-relief closer set of guy at that role. But, yeah, in college I was always a starter, pretty good senior. I was actually undefeated till the last game of the regular season before.
Oh,
the,
there you go.
I lost my last game. I was like, man, it was good. So, I had, you know, it was great experience. And yeah, I started throughout college and it's good. Put up some decent stats there.
Awesome.
So, it's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Rick, you can take
that. Yeah, no, I'm curious. How hard did you throw? Like, what was your top number when you threw?
Yeah, no. So I ended up having Tommy John.
Oh, wow. All right.
I start throwing hard up because I never threw that hard. Really. I was a sinker, but I threw about 88 to 90, which is might be hard in high school, right? 88 to 90 might be a little bit, touched 90 or 91, I think, was the hardest I had ever thrown through high school. And then into college, yeah, I think 91 was probably it, but I was more like a sinker and then a slider guy, pretty just 91. But then I had rookie ball with the Diamondbacks organization, and then I played eight ball, and then I had the Tommy John surgery, and I was out for it was like 16, 18 months recovery. And it was, I didn't think I was going to even come back. I remember taking a tennis ball and throwing it against the wall. I couldn't even hit the wall. I threw it over the wall. I just launched it. I was like, this is it. I'm packing up. And then just went through my rehab and I came back and I was 92 to 94 and I could actually hit 95 every now and again. And it was a little wild all over the place, but I started throwing harder later on. And it was just the workouts, the bands, the conditioning and the rehab that I could have done before. And I threw harder then, but yeah, at their mid now it's like every guy's on it. 95 maybe
is average, right?
Yeah.
You know, I asked you, Jason. So when you tore it, I mean, did you actually feel it pop? I mean, you knew it right away or?
No, that was a thing. Cause I knew I was probably on the fence after a ball. Cause it was my rookie season. I had came in, I threw a lot of innings. So I knew I was just sore. I threw like 140 or out of college. It was just, you go from June, we were in the world. So we went through every possible game. Started in like 14 games, but it was a gradual pain. I just thought it was just wear and tear. And then finally it was just, but no, to answer your question, it didn't just pop. It was like a gradual until I'm just like, this isn't normal anymore.
Right.
And it's just wait. And then I went, got the x-ray and I, you got tears through. So, but yeah, I had somebody that said that they felt a pop and I think it was like on their second one, but yeah, it was a gradual tear, but it's a very common deal.
It's like an ACL. It's just, it happens all the time.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, you see it happening just as many times as you see no hitters in the MLB nowadays. Right. Yeah, it the same arm that you broke heading to second in Little League?
I was pitching in Little League and that was felt like my arm just like shifted forward. Yeah, it was my right arm. I was pitching and it just like felt like it exploded and it was crazy. That was a weird feeling. Still remember that like yesterday. It's nuts. But
I was gonna ask you, so you get to the minor leagues. So when you get there, I mean, could you tell like this guy's a future major leaguer. Like, can you right away sort of tell who the major leaguers are, like who's going to be moving on? Because we've had a couple of people on who said that you could just tell right away that, like, we had somebody on who talked about Ronald Acuna, who was just like a beast at the plate. Yeah. Like, could you tell right away, like, it's just different?
Yeah, when I got there, it was obviously a different world, right? Like, you're used to being one of the better on your team, and then you get there, and it's like, these boys they're all like prime. And then some though will be like, man, why is this guy here? And then he gets up to book because in the lower levels there's different players. But I remember one guy in particular was a catcher and he was throwing the ball away at Sam. I was like, why is this guy was like a sixth round, fifth round? And then like not like shitting on him, but then like kind of curious, like, why didn't he get so much money? And then he gets up to the plate first pitch over center field wall. So I'm like, okay, there's always a reason why somebody's there. They might not have skills across the board yet, or some of them do, but yeah, it was a different. Yeah, some guys you could tell, like, okay, he won't be here long. He'll be on the fast track to the big leagues. And it was, it was a different ball game. It speeds up. It's a different world. And like I said, I never made it to the big leagues. I was lower A ball, but it was still, you saw those, that's when you see those guys come up through there. And, but it was, definitely a good experience, no doubt.
Any notable guys of mention? I know it was like 2011. Did you see anybody that now that's in the big leagues that you said, oh, that guy's going? That you faced or you just saw in a game?
A couple guys, like just even just coming, some of those guys, like I remember Sergio Romo, or it was Romo, right? He would come down, but he was, he was doing like a rehab assignment. And there was a, can't even believe I forgot his name. Because there was a, he played in the base. He was a, he was a first rounder out of high school. Goodness. He did make it to the base. He was one of those guys. He was a pitcher. He came in throwing 99. We're like, all right, he won't be there long, But yeah, there was some good, good talent. Brad Miller. played with him.
Oh, the reliever, Brad Miller.
Or he's shortstop. He was with the Rays.
Oh, Brad, he was shortstop. Brad Miller, wasn't he a reliever though? There was a Brad Miller who was a reliever.
I could be wrong. I think there's a Brad Miller. There's a shortstop too with the Phillies. I think he was with the Rays. He was mine. But yeah, there were some guys that. Yeah, this was 10 years ago. My last season playing was six years ago now, man. It's crazy. Mm,
flies, right?
It does, for sure. So, but yeah, there's some.
So,
Bias, I think, was actually in rookie ball with the Cubs.
Yeah.
He was down there, I think, maybe. But yeah, there's some, always some talent, for sure.
Yeah, of course. You could definitely tell with some people. I just wanted to see if you pitched against somebody or just saw somebody pitch. But yeah, because I think we had a minor league pitcher on a few weeks ago. John Perrin, him, he was in the Milwaukee organization, but he told us Ronald Acuna and Tatis. Actually, you know what? I'm curious on your take on it. With obviously with, who was it? Yermin Mercedes the other
last
week with the 3-0 count, and he swings at the meatball going right down the plate, and talking a little bit about obviously Griffey and how he made the game exciting. And I think the guys like Mercedes, guys like Tatis, guys like Acuna and Betts, and all these guys, they're trying to make the game fun, yet you have the older school class behind the scenes saying, no, let's not do that. Where do you fall in? I think let them play and make it fun, but you know, just curious where you stand there.
No, that's a good question. No, that's a great question. And actually, I forgot Keon Broxton. I don't know if he's still with the Pirates because I just dying to meet. He used to pitch against somebody. He ended up playing, I think, with the Brewers in the big leagues. He hit a bomb off me dead center.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, Keon Broxton. But anyway, I'm in the middle. So my take is, I think guys, I mean, if someone's going to serve it up like that, I mean, their job is to do what he did, right?
Right.
And the pitcher's job is to get him out. And I know position players and they're up by a minute. But my thing was, if someone's, I don't know. So my take is, if there's a showboat going on, like if he would have slammed, and he ran the bases hard, or pretty hard. Unless I missed some showboat thing or slow walk or I don't know. I don't think so. I thought he ran pretty hard. So in that case, that's for us. If he did that and then just was bat flipping, like you see, then that would have probably, that's where I would say now. But I mean,
it's tough. If you're showing up a little too much, then it's, if you're trying to make it a point to show up a little too much.
But
it's one thing to be excited and do a bat flip, and it's another one to be Manny Ramirez and just like admiring it and holding the bat all the way to first base. And like, I guess it needs to be a little bit more gray, way more gray than it can be black and white.
I don't think there should be suspension. I mean, it's tough to get your ass kicked like that and then have stuff, but I was playing, you know, to run them. I don't want to say step on their throat when they're, but it's like your job is to win the game. When
there you go.
That's it.
See, so it's like my coaches were like, bury him. Don't show. I mean, because we never show, but that was the only time we ever like intentionally hit somebody. It was like they did on a home run and just did something, just whatever. And it was like, okay, you're home. But I don't think it was all wrong. That's my take.
Yeah. Jason, I'm curious what your take is on the game, the state of the game today. Me and Mike talk about this all the time, how baseball needs to be dragged into kind of the 21st century, obviously with these old school rules, with the bat flips or whatever. But you also have like getting rid of the pitcher hitting in the National League, speeding up the pace of the game, the new rule with after 9 innings, put the runner on second. What are your thoughts in baseball trying to just innovate the game to bring more fans in? Because there are days where the game could be just unwatchable.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, and again, that's why I said at the beginning, don't kick me off the show for saying.
No, you're good. This is an open forum, man.
No, absolutely. You know,
'cause I've really been living in my whole, and I can't wait to get back out and coach and get back to the game on that level. And even go watch more games and be a fan. But yeah, I mean, it can be dry. Some of the girlfriends that I've had are just sitting at those games. Sometimes it's a very dry. If you're not a real fan, the fans make it up. I know we've talked about that. Like the game wouldn't be so unless it was the fans. And if you're not entertaining or putting on a show, those fans, I mean, they might love you, and but if you're not putting on, it's it can get dry. So I do think, I don't know what some of the rules are that they're really going to come up with implement, but I mean, people always like watching balls get hit a long way. I mean, guys are throwing harder. So, I mean, it is fun, but if he's just caning everybody up, people sometimes don't realize like, wow, that ball is going 100 miles an hour. It's just, they're just watching people dug out and miss the ball. And there's, so yeah, I mean, it's, that's a good question. It's tough to see. I do think there needs to be some live, and yeah, I don't know what really the difference going back to those earlier days and teams. I mean, yeah, we talk about Mark McGuire saying, okay, well, there was a performance
the in Bash Brothers
going on, but dude, I mean, but it was like they were, I mean, it was a it was fun to watch it. So, yeah, I don't know what, I don't know what's going to happen, but it is, yeah, I mean, not the fans, right? I mean, COVID showed like people in the stands, but guess what? Fans were sending their face in, paying, so it actually even livened up the just the dead bleachers. That's no fun.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. A tad bit.
But so I don't know. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah. And you're a pitcher. Now, I am not a fan of analytics in baseball. I'm not a fan of, it's just too much data, and I think it's making managers robotic, and I think it's taking some of the human element out of the game. What are your thoughts about analytics? You're a pitcher. They go off the spin rate and all that stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, the first time I even heard about, I remember I went somewhere for this like biomechanic. They strapped me up to like this thing and was getting all the that, and I'm like, this is insane. Like, I just threw the ball. You know, that was all this. Yeah. Hold it. And you do some different things with your fingers to make it spin differently. I don't want to say I'm not a fan because I never got too in depth, but I know maybe it was more like a football, basketball thing, like tape. You watch tape.
Which, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thinking back, there's always, oh, well, I should, but you know, maybe I could have studied some hitters differently, but like that on spin rate. Right? There's some things to study a guy's swing. Where's he going? How's he positioning? I mean, I just was relying on my catcher, or my like catcher was always good at reading where, oh, his feet. Okay. Now he knows how to pitch him, or they, so it was just really, I don't know if that was just old school. I'm not, you know, ancient over here. So I'm sure that those are all still relative. But, yeah, you know, the data, it's good how much if you can always get an edge or on the competition. But I don't know. I think there's some good just old school things you can do. But, no, it's good.
There you
go. Yeah.
Like I said, any edge you can get on the competition, it's good. Short of, you know, staring at bleachers with
I think, really, it just has to be a happy medium. Like, you have to have some data, but you can't be consumed by the data.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to let them play the game, but you can't also let them totally show up the game either.
Sure.
As far as the showboating and whatever. But if you're getting a meatball three, you hit it. But don't just like stick your tongue out at the pitcher after hitting the home run.
He's going to serve it up.
You know, did that. Then it's wrong.
Right. I agree.
Then if you're doing it purposely. So it needs to be a happy medium all which ways. And obviously you saw Juju dancing on the, you know, logos last year in the playoffs and got rocked for it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to act like a clown, you're going to get treated like one when the whistles. Yeah. So you played a few years in the minors, some independent ball as well. And then after your stint with the being a pitcher in all the leagues, you transitioned into real estate investment. And that's when you started JP Capital Solutions. Or did you work for somebody else and then branch off on your own? Or did you just start your own thing right off the bat?
Yeah. No, I had this passion for real estate, right? I don't know. That's what I always say. It just was, I like buildings. It's kind of weird. Again, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the city, the skyline. Just, I don't know. Some always, when I was younger, I just liked, I've never even been to New York, but I always loved movies. It would show just concrete jungle, right? So, I got into it. I thought getting a license was the thing to do, right? Be a realtor, joined a company. And that really wasn't it. I didn't like just pushing homes and that wasn't my gig. I did well, but it was like, this isn't what I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then but just getting in the business and making that transition. And fortunately I had that, and I actually ended up enjoying it because a lot of guys, they don't, I would have just, you know, I still like doing lessons and all that. Cause again, giving back to the game, having the knowledge, like I feel like that's my duty to give that back. Right. But you know, I wanted to do something else, and real estate was it. But a lot of guys, they just, it's tough and sometimes depressing because there's that transition where you don't know, like, what am I going to do now? Don't have a degree. I didn't finish college, you know? And so, but yeah, I ended up working with a couple different companies and then got into commercial real estate, which apartment buildings, mobile home communities, just different investment real estate. And that's where I found like, okay, this is it. This is where it's cash flow monthly.
Yeah.
We're on the brokerage side, and then there's two parts. But yeah, and then I actually was just last year, I went independent, and that's when I started my company, my firm, right? Pandemic, right before that. And it was good. You know, there was no, it was just funny because I'm like, wow, this is, yeah.
I took the lead. Good timing.
It's like, boom, shut down. And so, but it was fine. It was good. And I do have another company that's on the other side of the investment, because we do brokerage sales, and then we do personal investments with other investors to purchase these for a firm. And I have a business partner. He's also, his name's Tyler, and he's, I mean, I call him the warrior. I mean, he's like the boots on the ground. I'm more in, behind the scenes in the office, on phones. He's like in the trenches, and he's an animal. But yeah, I mean, that was it. Just, you know, kind of a little bit of luck, find it, and kind of like the baseball, stuck with it, you know, so off the ground. Yeah, it was good. So,
I mean, that goes with anything. You got to just stick with it. And if you're passionate about it, then, and I think we connected after our episode with Hakeem Ballas, right? Because he's in the real estate game too. Did you guys exchange stories a little bit on real estate, or you just happenstance coincidence that you synced up?
I saw him. He's very active in social media.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
TikTok is his thing.
He's awesome. He's doing it. And so I had started following him, and I was like, man, I don't have a podcast or I just have like a little YouTube. I put some stuff from my agents or other athletes, like, hey, do this in the off season when you have some free time. And every once in a while, I'll just talk with an athlete or somebody that's in business doing something. So I was like, man, this was awesome. Cause I always think back like, dang, if I was doing some real estate or something in those down times of the off season, or even during the season on the bus, like he bought a quadruplex his rookie year, like a quad. Mm-hmm. He lived in one unit, was renting out four. And I'm like, that's the only thing I look back and say, oh, I wish I could have, should have. But like, there was kind of one thing I was like, man, like I wish I would have been a little more educated. And he would do that. And I just respect, like, that was awesome just to know. So yeah, we had a little chat, and yeah, I follow him. He's awesome with what he's doing. And yeah, he was in the NFL, and I don't know if he went back or I don't know. I gotta check back up on, but yeah, we had a little dialogue going, and I saw him on your show, and it was good time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. Hakeem's a great guy, but yeah, I mean, he went out and he bought this quadruplex, like you said, instead of this fancy car that probably a lot of rookies probably do, you know, when they get that check. So that was a smarter move for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. We've heard that the rookie contracts, minor league baseball and football, like we were honestly taken back when we started hearing some of the numbers that minor leaguers got paid. And
like $1,500 a month or something like that. It's crazy.
Was it even that much? I don't know.
Yeah. No, 12. I think rookie ball's 1,200. Like you get 1,200. Yeah. You might. Yeah, I think it's like $3 an hour or something. Like some guys, I think in the league were suing. Which, I mean, you're playing, you know, the game you love, right? So if you're gonna sue, them, come on. So, but yeah, a lot of people, they don't really. I mean, there's a signing bonus for some, don't. But like some get a little money, and then yeah, it's blown, right? And then maybe you can eventually renegotiate a contract if you're in the minor leagues for so long, and you can get a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's. And then even those independent leagues, it's professional, but I mean, you're making, I said 1,200. Yeah. I mean, it's rough. I mean, it's a grind, but yeah, any money that is made there, it's long gone with most of those guys. Definitely. If there is a bonus there. So it's not what some people think.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know players don't hope for any other player to get injured, But like the Mets got like 40 people on the IL and all these minor leaguers are getting called up. And they got like a significant pay bump just for getting called up for like a game, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
If they go to the majors?
I think the like big league 40 man or once you're on the maybe 40 man or the big league, the minimum salary is like $510,000, right? So it's like, wow. Your year is making $1,000 a month barely. And that's only 6 months out of the year. So you're making $6,000-$7,000 for the year. That's why you're working, doing lessons on the, and working. And so, once you finally get there, there's obviously a payday and it's a significant, bump, but it's not a lot of people have, no idea. Maybe some of the minor leagues just don't talk about it. They just, think I'm balling. It's not, but it's funny, but it's a grind. It's good. You gotta go through that. Just like,
No wonder Tim Tebow wanted out of the minors and go to sign for a professional football team again.
It's funny.
Well, Jason, thank you for coming on tonight, man. Yours is a great story. Keep up the great work. You're more than welcome to come back. And if there's anything we can do, feel free to come back on the show and let us know, man.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, and tell everyone out there where they can find you if they want to learn more about JP Capital. And you also have this Athlete to Investor. That's your show on YouTube, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. My channel, like I said, guys call me in the off season. Still, I'm like, hey, look, learn some real estate stuff. It's just free. I'm not trying to be a guru or push any sales on anybody. But yeah, JP Capital Solutions, that's Instagram or whatever. And then, Athlete to Investor. That's just all YouTube, but just give a little value till I'm back out there giving lessons and getting back in the game somehow. Better. So,
awesome. Give it back like your dad did for you. You got all that knowledge now, and now you're going to pass it on to the next batch of baseball players out there sure.
Absolutely. Appreciate
Jason, it was great having you on.
Thank you, Jason.
Have a great night, and we'll keep in touch.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Great job, Jason.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Good night.
Good night. Oh, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You see another guy who believes that we need to change the game and move it into the 21st century.
I mean, come on. I mean, anyone under 40, 45 would probably agree with us.
Of course.
I think, maybe even 50 is that sweet spot.
Maybe
at this point,
I don't know.
I guess it also depends. It depends if they're baseball fans and football fans and basketball fans. But if you're just baseball, maybe you're gonna stick more to that old school mentality because people don't, pick up the football or the basketball because they're a little bit more free with what they do on the field, on and off the field, on and off the court, whatever the case is. So let's touch on some of the playoff pictures. Dallas Mavericks up 2-0 on the Clippers. The Clippers were the number one seed, right?
No.
Were they two?
No, the Suns were two. I think they might be the number one seed. I
thought the Clippers were one.
Hold on. I'm not.
I could be mistaken, but I thought they were.
I'll tell you right now. Hold on one second.
Bucks are looking like, they're up 25 points right now. Bucks are up 25 over the Heat. The Heat have lost all heat that they had last year. Nobody's really performing like they were last year. Sad to see. And obviously, if Milwaukee can win this with a 27-point lead with 6 minutes to go, pretty good. I mean, you're not coming back 3-0.
Yeah. The Jazz were the number one seed in the West.
The Jazz were the number one.
Yeah, the Clippers were the four seed. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That Jazz Grizzlies is tied 1-1 right now. Lakers tied it back up with the Suns over there.
Yeah, and they play at 10 o'clock tonight. So in a couple minutes that they're on.
Yep, and that's got that 2-0 lead. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's rolling there. You got Sixers who are the top seed.
Yep,
up against the Wizards. They're up 2-0. And then we touched on it a little bit, Russell Westbrook getting popcorn.
He should have gotten the stands and knocked that guy out. Like, they should just be like, you know what, go ahead and knock him out.
It's unnecessary. Come on. Like, this is – and – but do you really – are you really surprised that happened in Philadelphia?
No, that's a good point.
I mean, they threw, what, batteries at Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Yeah, so – I guess I'm not surprised at that, but I guess it gave this guy in New York saying, oh, well, if he's dumping popcorn on people, I'm going to spit at Trae Young. And that's just, I mean, I don't like, you know, I don't really like the guy either, but you're not spitting at him.
Yeah, spit on the guy. Come on, man.
You don't spit at people. Like, you could yell expletives all day long if you want to.
And here's the other thing about that. Like, he spit on the girl that 50 Cent was with. Like, it hit her.
It hit her too?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think fans are just getting way out of hand because there's no consequence.
I think that because fans have not been allowed to be at arenas and stadiums, right. I feel like they've gotten more, I guess this like...
edgier?
They're just acting... because people were able to get a little too comfortable at their own house that they didn't realize, like, what is it like when we go back into society? Like,
right.
No, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but these people, like, some of these people, like, they're just going above and beyond. Like,
yeah,
don't pour popcorn on anybody and don't sit there and spit at anybody.
I think it's been happening for a while, though. Like, especially with Russell Westbrook and before, like, fans have been getting really out of hand. I mean, I don't know. I've been watching these videos on Twitter of these people brawling in stands. And, like the behavior of fans is just getting worse. But hopefully, you know, that this will come up with some consequences, like publicly shame the fans or something, man. Yeah, they got to do something. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I guess we will. What else we got going on around the league?
I think that's it. For the most part.
I think, I think we covered a lot of all the big stories. What did your Yankees do today? Anything?
The Yankees, I think they won 5-3. They were up 5-3 when I saw it.
Did they have a doubleheader, or they just had one?
No, they didn't. I think they rescheduled it for later on in the
No, they did. Doubleheader.
Oh, the Yankees played doubleheader?
Yeah. Blue Jays won the first game, and the Yankees won the second.
All right.
Yeah, so they split.
Listen, the Yankees they're in third place, two games behind first. They're all right.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, the two games out, exactly. 7-3 in their last 10. The Rays are holding on to the top spot now.
Yeah.
They leapfrogged the Red Sox there. Mm-hmm. And the Mets are 2.5 up in the NL East. So, yeah. Hey, I mean, 24-20. What are the Yankees? 29-21. So the Yankees are doing better.
Yeah.
But the Mets have, like, 10 less games than like everyone else in the league. I feel like.
Literally.
But hey, 6-4 in their last 10, the Mets. So 14-5 home, 10-15 away. Yeah, they're definitely going to have to work on that away schedule for sure. They're going to, and no surprise, the Pirates 18-31.
Yeah.
With that, with the way they play first base over there. I still can't get over it, but I don't want to go out there and shame this guy, but it was obviously he's a professional. It was the heat of the moment. It could really happen to anybody.
Yeah.
But I mean, damn sorry that it happened to him because that was embarrassing.
That was tragic.
Yeah, but honestly, great week. Like we mentioned the other day, we're going to be taking a mini hiatus, just a week. Yeah, we'll have enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, everybody. We will take next week off. And then we're going to be back, not on Tuesday, but on Monday. We are going to change it up a little bit for the summer, for the time being, and go Monday, Wednesday, at least for a month or two, and just spruce it up a little bit. But we will be back Monday, June 7th. I have a couple of great guests in store for when we return, and have a great Memorial Day weekend, and enjoy the next week of playoff basketball and playoff hockey. And we'll see you in June.
Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Be safe. And we'll catch you back June 7th, everybody. Peace.
Have a great night and a great weekend.